Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm extremely pleased to share with you that I have a man whom I consider one of the world's best geopolitical analysts as my featured guest today, Joaquin Hagopian. I have a lot of his blogs on mine at jameshfetzer.org. Today, I thought I'd begin by giving more or less conventional reports about some of the key developments and then bring Joaquin in to give us a deeper take on what's really going on, which I guarantee 100% he's in a position to do. So let me start with a report. This is actually from the Daily Mail. Putin bringing in martial law in the annexed Ukrainian territory amid fears he'll move to a full war footing and detonate a nuke over the Black Sea as General Armageddon evacuates 60,000 people before the Battle of Kherson. If Putin's army were forced to flee the city, it would be the most humiliating defeat it has yet suffered in Ukraine. Frankly, I'm unaware of any defeats that the Russian forces have sustained there, but it is most certainly the case that all the Western military equipment, including the Javelin anti-tanks and the Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, have made a difference here. I think that's part of the reason why Putin hasn't sought to exercise control of airspace, because these missiles are so extremely effective. Indeed, you will all recall, Osama bin Laden was our man in Afghanistan, and was instrumental in getting those Stingers to the hands of the Mujahideen, which they used to shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes and drive them out of that godforsaken region. He was, in case anyone missed the point, an officer in the CIA, Colonel Tim Osman. He was visited by an official of the agency in a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death from his medical maladies. It's tough to get dialysis machines in and out of those caves in Afghanistan on 15 December 2001. Local obituaries buried in an unmarked grave. CNN and Fox both caught up with his death by the 26th of December and reported. But Osama bin Laden found it politically expedient to resuscitate him and have him die again a decade later with a stage raid on a compound in Pakistan to position himself for a triumphal reelection as the man who got the most wanted man in the world. Meanwhile, Putin's declaration of martial law will come into effect early Thursday. That's going to be tomorrow in Donetsk, Luhansk, Kherson, and Zaporizhia regions. He announced a decision shortly after Russia's new commander in Ukraine said the situation in Kherson is tense and that those who are residing there need to be resettled to protect the lives of civilian air service members. Evacuations are underway. Speculations growing that he might be preparing some kind of nuclear show of force. Remember now, however, Russia has declared it will not use nukes unless it's forced to do so. And indeed, why would it be necessary? Russia has so many other extremely effective weapons it can deploy to great effect. It has no need to do so. But as my guest will explain, there are already indications that the West, not Russia, that the West is already deploying nuclear devices in Ukraine. Here we see a photograph, which, of course, you and the audience won't see until you catch up with a video version I'm recording with Joaquin here today as I speak. Civilians boarding coaches and ferries out of Kherson. You can't always know whether photographs are depicting what the captions claim. For example, there were photographs of masses of vehicles leaving that were supposed to be Russians fleeing from Russia, but were actually Ukrainians fleeing from Ukraine. So the propaganda of the West just goes on endlessly. Here we have pro-Russians queuing up to evacuate on a ferry. Liz Truss, who's the new prime minister in the UK, retreated over defense cuts after senior ministers threatened to quit. That's increasing the unease as, in fact, Russia is expected to carry out an annual test of nuclear weapons within days. Mind you now, that's not military deployment, but merely a test under treaties governing their use. Russia is supposed to inform the U.S. before carrying out nuclear drills to avoid the risk a test being mistaken for an actual launch. In a situation like this, obviously, it's very hairy, and the prospect of misunderstanding or misinterpretation would be great. Here we have the rubble, a photo of the rubble of a residential building hit by a kamikaze drone. These drones are purportedly coming from Iran, and that they have supplied some 2,800 of these drones, which appear to be very effective, to Russia. I suspect this might be, in fact, a type of weapon that Russia did not have in stock. Experts have speculated Putin could carry out the first open-air test of a nuke since the 1960s. It says to terrify Ukraine and its Western backers, but Putin has been again and again seeking to explain how serious Russia is, how much resolve, how much military might it possesses, including, recall, they have the world's largest submarine, which has the capacity to deploy these little mini-subs, as it were, that are nuclear-equipped so that they could create massive tsunamis should the occasion call for it, tsunamis that would create waves hundreds of feet high and be radiated. So if, for example, off the coast of the eastern coast of the United States, one of these were set off, it might wipe out the entire eastern seaboard from Boston to Washington, D.C., including New York City, an area that would then be radiated and uninhabitable for the next 250 years. Think about it. Biden is pushing for us to have a conflict with Russia, but by God, if it happens, we aren't going to like it. Meanwhile, we got a report from Zero Hedge that a third of Ukraine's power stations have been destroyed. It appears there's going to be a brutal winter in mine. For more than a week, Russia has stepped up its aerial bombardment campaign against cities and towns, including widespread use of those drones. We suspect they are Iranian-made, causing the EU to threaten new sanctions against Tehran. Zelensky said in a separate social media that Russian forces act insidiously, kill civilians, hit housing infrastructure, That, however, has been characteristic of his own forces, especially the Azov Battalion, which is not just neo-Nazi, I think hardcore Nazi. There's not a lot of room for a debate about it. The Hill wrote about some of these stakes, that the city of Zytomyr, which is west of the capital Kiev, lost power after a double missile strike targeted an energy facility. Putin, from the beginning, of course, has attempted to conduct a kinder and gentler form of warfare, sparing civilians and infrastructure. But Kiev, Ukraine, the West has made it all but impossible to maintain that approach. So he's now had to up the ante, including bringing in this general who has a reputation of being very severe, who appears to be conducting the offensive operations. Ukraine's second largest city of Kharkiv, near the Russian border, was also hit. It's threatened the power grid, a city with a pre-war population of around 1.5 million. Two Russian regions of Belgorod and Kursk have meanwhile said their populations have been terrorized by shelling attacks from the Ukrainian side of the border. Train traffic in the Belgorod region was temporarily brought to a halt after a shelling struck a railway station and damaged railroad tracks. Meanwhile, the metrics show internet disrupted in multiple regions of Ukraine amid reports of Russian missile attacks targeting energy infrastructure. Live network data indicates high impact with several reasons. These new waves come amid a World Health Organization warning for Ukraine and perhaps all of Europe that the approaching winter is going to be brutal in its the challenges that it poses, that the risk of COVID, frostbite, hypothermia, pneumonia, stroke, and heart attack will undoubtedly, they say likely, undoubtedly, I say, increase among Ukrainians who are living precariously. Bear in mind, this all was avoidable. Ukraine, Russia had been making its demands very obvious for a very long time now. Ukraine must not become a NATO nation, and they must cease to, attack the Donbass region, which has many ethnic Russians. And indeed, it is they which have just in these referenda declared their declaration to join Russia, which, so far as I am able to ascertain, is all in accordance with international law. Just a few domestic reports. Early 2022 voting outpaces normal midterm election numbers, comparable to 2018. About 2.7 million have already voted in more than a dozen states which have early voting options. It's on a par with a record turnout during the 2018 midterm, a professor has concluded. Of that figure, 2,353,531 voted via mail-in ballots, while 337,852 cast their ballots in person. I'm worried about mail-in balloting, of course, since it was used in 2020 to steal the election in just an overwhelming way, especially by flooding the drop boxes with the mules that Denise D'Souza has so accurately reported upon in his fascinating film 2000 Mules, where there actually appears to have been as many as 58, funded by money from Mark Zuckerberg, some 420 million dollars, and if you figure $10 a ballot, that's $42 million. I mean, it's a staggering number of fake ballots that were delivered. A lot of the balloting, a third so far, has been cast in Florida alone, as more than 600,000 have cast their ballots. That's pretty fascinating. Quite remarkable, considering the early voting is going on in other states. Florida has been piling on another 100,000 every day at this point. Florida is really why the numbers have moved so quickly. And, of course, having been hit by the hurricane, I have been very worried about how the voting was going to even take place, and so many precincts would be wiped out. That may explain why there's so much mail balloting going on in Florida. I have great confidence in DeSantis that there's going to be an election in Florida of high integrity. I'm less confident about other states. McDonnell said that in recent trends in midterm, it might be a sign of things to come. What we're observing is some people have changed their behavior. They're either voting early or may not have done so in the past, or they're voting sooner. Both of the things we saw in 2020, where people were not only voting by mail and in person at greater frequency, but voting earlier they had. And of course, in that case, they were turning out for Donald Trump. The fact they would manipulate the numbers is completely independent from the actual ballots that were cast. So my interpretation would be all this early voting is a very powerful sign that the Republicans are indeed going to enjoy the red wave so many have been predicting, assuming the Democrats are unable to steal the election as they did before. But don't underestimate their efforts. It won't be for lack of trying. Meanwhile, a new national poll shows why Democrats are fearful of Ron DeSantis and regard him as a dangerous threat. He's a rock star in the Republican Party. The Democrats and left-wing media spent nearly 2 years attacking every move he makes, but a new national poll shows why they consider him such a dangerous threat. He's running for re-election as governor against Democrat Charlie Crist, a former governor himself who actually changed his party. During the last election in 2018, DeSantis defeated Democrat Andrew Gillum by a narrow 0.4%. But that was before he was catapulted to the forefront of the national scene during the pandemic with his bold stance against Biden and Fauci, to my refer, of course, at Tony the Rat and the COVID tyranny. Despite a constant barrage of attacks from Democrats and the fake news media, he stood his ground, refused to enforce lockdowns, banned masks, and vaccine mandates. Democrats and left-wing media are worried about him, justifiably. A new Harris-Harvard poll has turned Democrats' worry into pure terror. The poll asked participants how they felt about prominent politicians with very favorable, favorable, unfavorable, extremely unfavorable, never heard of them, or no opinion is the option. The outcome showing Ron DeSantis with the highest net popularity rating of any major politician across the nation. All voting categories, the top four politician ranked in order with Ron DeSantis at +6, former VP Pence at +4, Tim Scott at +3, and former President Trump at an even 0. After nearly 2 years of nonstop smears, DeSantis has emerged as the most popular elected official in the entire country, regardless of political affiliation. The poll found more bad news for Democrats overall. Not only are the politicians with net positive ratings all Republicans, but the GOP overall ranked higher than Democrats. The midterms, only 3 weeks away, actually, they've already begun. Democrats may have been hoping Charlie Crist would defeat DeSantis and stop his surging popularity, but there's no chance of that. He's going to soundly defeat Charlie Crist and achieve his goal of turning Florida from a swing state into a solid red. And that makes DeSantis a top threat to the Democrats. Meanwhile, we have some reports of some of the candidates, even this guy Fetterman down in Georgia, who has suffered from a stroke and appears to be cognitively impaired. I mean, literally with brain damage, is making the astute observation a little late in the day that talk about defunding the police was always absurd. Always absurd. Well, all of us who've been paying attention and didn't have a political ideology blinding us recognize it was absurd from the beginning. Fetterman said, it was always absurd to defund the police. From my own experience, I'd say anytime we have fewer police, you're going to have more crime. Surprise, surprise. I just feel police are always going to be a critical part of the conversation. And by the way, you know, he's reading this all of a teleprompter with cue cards. He's got to have a big screen anytime he's interviewed. He really cannot manage a spontaneous conversation and come across as coherent. This is a guy who's seriously impaired, and I think it's very troubling that he's still in the race. I do expect that he is going to be defeated by Dr. Oz. Meanwhile, in Arizona, the Democrat candidate, Katie Hobbs, is so bad during the interview with CNN, they didn't even replay. I mean, this is really fascinating. After CNN's Dana Bash failed in her effort to make Arizona Republican candidate Carrie Lake look bad, Lake's opponent Katie Hobb came on the broadcast. The difference between the professional Lake and the up-talking nonsense of Katie Hobbs was stark. It's the first time the author writes, this is Sundance, I've watched Mrs. Hobbs during a broadcast election interview, and it does not come as a surprise to see CNN not upload the outcome onto their YouTube channel for additional attention and replay. Hobbs is a complete ideological idiot, and I don't say that lightly. How this woman is even being considered to become a governor is beyond my comprehension. Meanwhile, we have some reports, too, from Laura Ingraham about these contests, Listen Up, where Tulsi and Carrie Lake are both featured.
We see the evolving of this whole performative kind of politics from Sarah Palin to what we have now, Carrie Lake.
And Carrie Lake does seem like she has the Trumpian ability to just deny reality and be forceful about it.
This sort of performative representation rather than actual representation. I suspect that's what Arizonans might get with Carrie Lake.
It's ironic that they accuse Arizona's Carrie Lake of performative politics when that's all the Democrats have. Like Americans and Arizonans, they're tired of the left's empty promises, all these elitist policies, the woke identity politics. And so is Tulsi Gabbard, by the way. Last week, she announced she's leaving the Democrat Party. And tonight, she's endorsing Arizona's Republican gubernatorial candidate, Carrie Lake. The former Democratic congresswoman and 2020 presidential contender and newly declared independent, Tulsi Gabbard, joins us now live from an event for Carrie Lake. Tulsi, tell me about tonight and what drove you to endorse Carrie Lake tonight?
Well, I'm here in Phoenix joining hundreds of people who've come out in support of Carrie Lake tonight. Supposedly, there was supposed to be a debate, but her opponent, Katie Hobbs, is refusing to debate her and stand toe-to-toe to compare their policies. And I think this is really indicative of the national problem that we're seeing with the current Democratic Party is rather than actually have a debate in the marketplace of ideas with the American people, where people can actually make an informed decision, they either refuse to be a part of the conversation or they throw out lies and smears and attacks seeking to undermine the credibility of anyone who dares to challenge their narrative. And this is the sort of thing that led me to leave the Democrat Party because in my experience and also the policies and actions we're seeing coming out of this administration and this so-called woke fanatical ideologues who are controlling the party is they're against free speech. They're against democracy. They're against freedom of religion. They're against the very principles of this country, our God-given rights enshrined in our Constitution. And meanwhile, they are pushing us further and further towards the brink of nuclear war that threatens the very existence of the American people and the world. There are so many things that we don't have time to get into in detail here, but ultimately it comes down to people in power who don't believe in and who are actively undermining the foundational principles of this country, and that is not something that I can be aligned with.
Well, Katie Hobbs was on CNN, and this was a very telling moment from her. Watch.
Carrie Lake has made it clear time and time again that she's not interested in having substantive, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter to Arizonans. She only wants a scenario where she can control the dialogue. There is a lot more ability to have a conversation with you without her interruptions and shouting. She's only interested in creating a spectacle.
Tulsi, that's their lingo, creating a spectacle, which in this case just means being a better politician.
Yeah, again, it's about what you're communicating to the people. And what I've heard from Carrie Lake is the same thing that I shared with my constituents when I ran for Congress. She is going through the most rigorous job interview process ever, letting the people of Arizona know, hey, I am here applying for a job from you. You are my boss, not some corporate special interest, not some big partisan party boss. She's made it clear that her accountability is to the people of Arizona. And she's laid out a very broad and thoroughly thought out platform and what she plans to do as governor should they elect her.
Well, see, I cannot wait to see what happens in Arizona. It's such a great state. It's a beautiful state. It's been through a hell of a lot in the last couple of years.
People are fired up here, I got to tell you.
They are, and they're so happy you're there tonight. So thanks for being there, and thanks for being with us.
Hey, Sean Hannity.
We've seen.
I think that's terrific. Of course, I'm a huge fan of Tulsi Gabbard, as everyone who follows this show is well aware. I'm so pleased to have Joaquin here with me today to give us a deeper dig. You just do such sensational work, my friend. I'm just simply delighted. Begin wherever you like, but I think maybe with the evidence that the West is already using nuclear devices in Ukraine would be a good starting point.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be back with you again, Jim. They actually, the Russians, discovered at an airport near Kiev, this is at the very beginning of the incursion into Ukraine, airport, a suburb of Kiev, contained a nuclear bomb inside the hangar, inside the plane. And they recovered that and did not make a big deal of it. You didn't hear about it in the media. It's only come out now with an incident that occurred, and it's probably been more than one, but there's one in particular that is getting some airplay by individuals on the ground that are receiving pretty credible information from live witnesses that are in the Donetsk military. And there is a group of soldiers that have been fighting for the independence of the Donetsk Republic now for, 8 years plus. And anyway, there are a group of soldiers that were exposed to a dirty bomb. It's like 50 kilometers from the Donetsk city, the capital of the republic, where this has occurred. And they're being treated for exposure and sickness, radiation sickness. We suspected all along that Ukraine and America and all these cabal players, they are always projecting whatever they're doing wrong, illegally, unlawfully, and against all international rules of law. They project that onto their designated targeted enemy. And so all we've been hearing are, all the things that Ukraine has been doing to their own people, like when they're trying to flee from cities and trying to get to Russia for safety, they're being bombed by Ukrainian forces. Like constant incidents where false flags, where they accuse the Russians of doing all these abominable, inhumane war crimes that Ukraine is committing constantly. And they have been caught over and over and over again throughout the, 8 months now we've been involved here. So, it's the same old story over and over. But they're stepping it up as far as, using dirty bombs now. It's going to have to come out on a bigger scale. Obviously, the officials, Defense Ministry of Russia needs to, present its evidence. But there are individual witnesses now that are already coming forth. What I believe is going to happen is they're already setting the stage. If you look at all the mainstream media outlets right now, today, they're all saying, and they have been for the last week or so, 2 weeks actually, they have been saying that this madman Putin is about to unleash a nuclear bomb. This is what they do. They try and set it up to convince uninformed public into gullibly believing their lies. And here's what's coming. And I have great concerns that, you know, you were just talking about the Democrats and how they're going to lose in November. Well, they're afraid that they're going to be obviously removed from power because the will of the people, if it's an accurate count, will ensure that they are removed because they've done nothing except destroy America in the fastest way. And so, and most Americans are fully aware that the 2020 election was a cheated, rigged election. And that still has yet to be corrected. So they know they're going to get voted out if there's an election. So my concern is we're seeing this stage set with all the, basically the hype on the media, Western media, constantly saying we're afraid he's going to be using nuclear weapons on Ukraine, or possibly even on the Western allies in Europe. It could happen. You know, he's getting so desperate. Putin is getting desperate. He's a madman. All this rhetoric that is totally unfounded. None of it is credible. They have no evidence. He has said that they have the means of having a nuclear arsenal. And in the basically quest to protect his own people, he will be forced. However, we also know, though, that Russia historically has always said, we are not going to do the first strike. We're not going to do anything preemptive, as opposed to Zelensky basically imploring America and UK to go in there and do preemptive strikes, nuclear strikes on Russia. So again, they are always projecting whatever they're about, whatever is illegal that they're doing, they project onto their targeted enemy. So that's what I'm seeing. I have a concern that the Democrats are going to pull some false flags, probably the one in Europe. Maybe it will be a dirty bomb in Germany or some European country. It could go, you know, obviously most apt to be in Ukraine as well. And then there's a series of probable false flags that I believe are going to happen prior to November 8th. And that is their excuse, the Democrats' excuse, to then, you know, call an emergency. It's an emergency, and we have to cancel the election. And I've been saying this for a long time, that I have concerns, because the very things that rigged the election in 2020 have never been corrected. They are still on standby with stuffing ballots. They're still on standby with already known electronic voting fraud machines, Dominion. And nothing has fundamentally changed, nor have they rectified the election of 2020. So I have major concerns, and they know they're going to get voted out of office because their record is atrocious, and Americans know it. So they're anticipating they will lose power if there is a November 8th election, and therefore they will do plan A, plan B, plan C in a series of false flags from now to probably near November 8th to do what they're going to do. And that will include Putin using a nuclear weapon.
And by the way, you know, to explain why nothing's been done, I mean, the Democrats benefited from stealing the election. Why would they correct a system that benefited them over their foremost political opponent, Donald Trump, whom they fear viscerally because he's made a connection with the American people unlike any other president in my lifetime, and that goes all the way to JFK, meaning, you know, I was just coming of voting age when Jack was whacked. I was actually anchored out aboard the LPH Iwo Jima as a young Marine Corps officer when the officer of the deck awakened me at 3:30 in the morning to tell me he'd been hit. And then an hour later, they caught the guy that was a communist, which I thought then was pretty fast work. And today, of course, I understand what was going on. But the fact is, for all the affection the American people felt for Jack and Jackie, it was not nearly as visceral as what Trump supporters feel for Donald Trump. Joaquin, it's just something that's unbreakable. And I think for good reason, though. I admit the man is seriously flawed, but he really came in to drain the swamp. He found it was much more challenging and arduous because he didn't represent a standing administration. He was independent of any party after executing a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. He was surrounded by individuals who were working against his interests, up to and including his most recent Attorney General, William Barr, who blithely declared there'd been no theft of the election in 2020, though eventually had to admit they hadn't even bothered to investigate. I mean, this is just monstrous on the level of betrayal. So I want the guy to come back and do it right. He's got this schedule app that enables him to deal with the senior executive service, these bureaucrats who are there forever, basically making policy decisions independent of voter preference or presidential authority. I also want to add, 10 or 15 years ago, I interviewed Christopher Busby as an internationally recognized expert on cancer and weaponry, and atomic especially, who was going to Fallujah to investigate the then enormous proliferation of genetic abnormalities, intestines outside the body, no arms, legs, two heads, no brain, all this stuff, which initially suspected would be from the use of depleted uranium, which is the densest material known to man, is, of course, ideal for anti-tank weapons, but discovered to his surprise it was from enriched uranium from a new class of tactical nuclear weapons the United States was already deploying in Iraq. So anyone who thinks the United States has high moral ground here just doesn't understand the record. Indeed, the United States has completely squandered such moral authority as it may or may not have ever properly exercise in the past, especially in the wake of World War II, by all the coups, scandals, assassination, but even unto the use of tactical nuclear weapons in violation of international law in Iraq. And now it appears we got in Ukraine something on the same order taking place. And then, of course, the destruction of the Nord Stream pipelines. That was a crime against humanity, Joaquin. And it's very clear Biden and Victoria Nuland announced it was going to happen. And if Putin were to invade Ukraine with tanks and soldiers, there will be no Nord Stream. Biden said it. Victoria Nuland said the same thing, and they carried it out. So now we have Sweden, who's done an investigation, is afraid to share the results, claiming it's on the basis of national security. Germany says they know who did it, and then they go silent. I mean, this is just incredible, Joaquin. Yours.
Yeah, I'm real disappointed in Germany for not having the you-know-what to at least confront America with the evidence that's already available. It's out there publicly that the United States did it. Everybody knows it. And as you said, it was broadcast from the very beginning, even prior to Putin entering Ukraine, that it was not going to happen. And so they already had planned all this. And then, of course, you know, there is the evidence that there were helicopters and scuba divers and all this activity in the Baltic Sea right where those explosions occurred. So who has the motive, the means, you know, we all know. And then Sweden, yeah. They're all vassals. They're vassals. But here's the thing. In all my writing, I'm constantly saying, you know, you can't even, like, say, well, the United States did this, and then Europe, European Union did this. All of them are puppets. All of the players that have been, quote, elected in these rigged elections, they're all puppets. So the not acting of their own accord. They are doing what they have been ordered to do, and that's why they're in those positions of, quote, power, which is a puppet power. And the real power is a hierarchy of secret societies controlled by bloodlines that control basically all the corporations, all the media, all the politicians through bribery and sexual blackmail, which I wrote a bunch of books on, pedophilia, that's what they do. They use children for sexual blackmail to basically get the stooges, who are the puppets, to do it exactly what they're told. And that's how the game is played. And it's been like this a long, long time now. The puppets do not represent the people. It's been oligarchs that have been in control of all the national governments. And we have the biggest proof of them all is with this horrible pandemic and the kill shots that are causing genocide. That was a massive conspiracy. Every single element within governments, media, big pharma, all were in it together, the medical community. And the evidence is out there, very plain to see. The damage and the genocide that's unfolding here. They all operate on unlawful, basically tyranny, and they just do what they're told by their controllers who are owning the world, basically. Except our minds. It's a war of the mind, and there are some people that know that what's going on is not right, and they are truth seekers. And so they tune in to people like you and me to try and find out a little bit more information.
Yeah, this pandemic business where the pandemic was fake, but the vax is real and deadly. I mean, we got reports slipped through the cracks, even from Hopkins, that there was no increase in death in any age category from the pandemic. And yet they use it by falsifying data. For example, the year before, there had been 38 million cases of the flu. Well, the following year, 2,000. So what happened? Did we just lose 37,998 million cases of the flu? You know, I mean, did they just disappear? No, they were reclassified as COVID. John Rappaport, Edward Henry have been excellent on this. I mean, it's just fabricating fake medical reports. Now, this is what we weren't really used to in the past, Joaquin, that there would be the medical establishment, the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, up to the WHO. Many of us have been skeptical of the WHO forever, but most Americans have assumed the CDC and the FDA were actually doing something to protect the American people, not understanding they're representing Big Pharma, that they're actually marketing agencies, and they're going to do any damn thing that Big Pharma wants, including putting out vaccines, which aren't bona fide medicine. They don't properly qualify as vaccines. Hence, the CDC even changed the definition, which I don't think will evade legal responsibility, because at the time they were authorized, they were not medicine. They didn't properly qualify as vaccines. And, of course, when it was, you know, emergency use authorization, the genius of that is it didn't require that you enumerate the ingredients of what it is you're injecting. They were obligated, in principle, to identify the risks and the benefits to secure informed consent, but which, of course, they did not do. These have horrific effects. They didn't talk about HCQ and ivermectin, which are readily available alternative treatments for COVID, such as it may be. In fact, they had to demonize so they could have this pseudo-justification of there being no available treatment alternative, and hence the emergency use where they didn't have to identify the ingredients, and where now when they've actually been asked to put up all their data, they wanted it to be locked up for 75 years, Joaquin. This was reminiscent of the Warren Report, which wanted its records locked up for 75 years. And the number is because the average lifespan of an American is around 75 years, so that basically no one who was alive at the time Jack was shot or at the time everyone got vaxxed would be around to actually see the records and recognize how horribly, deplorably, grotesquely the human population had been abused, being treated like lab rats, actually worse, being exterminated deliberately by a medical procedure that was falsely depicted as being safe and effective when it was none of the above. I mean, this is going to go down in world history as the greatest crime against humanity of them all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the overreach of, you know, I call them Satanists or Luciferian. It's synonymous in my book. And I mean, that's why they've been able to get away with so much, because it's just so hard for the average person to be able to grasp the amount of evil that's involved in all the crimes they've been committing. A normal person just cannot fathom how evil it is. So that they've used that to their advantage, you know. They have this term that CIA invented called conspiracy theory, the conspiracy nuts and all of this. And that's how they discard people like you and me that seek the truth. You know, they call us that, and, you know, and but their overreach has basically resulted in a movement worldwide that is anti-globalist. The World Economic Forum and their front guy, you know, Klaus Schwab, they're basically looked upon now, along with the Rothschild banking cartel. We know that they're central players in all this. All the bloodlines are. But the Rockefellers are in deep, huge with the pandemic and the kill shot genocide. They basically took over the whole medical profession. This is many, many decades ago. They've sat on all kinds of cures for cancer and all of this. This is the Rockefeller Foundation. They have the playbook of pandemic and how they're going to achieve their kind of centralized tyranny with the Operation Lockstep. I mean, they are in so deep with basically the big pharma and the medical, over the medical schools in America. You know, everything is drugs. Doctors are just pill pushers. They don't go to the cures for any of the diseases. They want people sick and to stay sick. That's how they make their money and make their power. The Rockefellers are in deep. All of these major players, including the royal family, you know, the queen supposedly died a couple of months ago, but yeah, they're all players. What did her husband say when he was 2 or 3 years away from death? He said he wants to come back and be reincarnated as a killer virus. So that tells you. And who gets together with the World Economic Forum to come up with this whole pandemic? King Charles now came up with the whole idea of reset using the pandemic. So, I mean, we know all these crimes that they've been committing. I thought Reiner Fulmer has all the evidence. He did a great job compiling all this evidence about exposing the pandemic and the genocide. It's all there. But unfortunately, The Hague, the international criminal court, is not cooperating. They're basically the judicial system in pretty much every country. There are good judges here and there, just like I suppose politicians occasionally are good. But the system, it's the systemic problem. And the systemic problem of all the power structures that we're talking about are all corrupted and owned and controlled by the puppet masters.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And in order to suppress critical thinking about controversial issues like the COVID, like the vax, like the stolen election, like January 6th, they treat Alex Jones as a pinata. They put him out there in the public and beat the hell out of him again and again and again and again. And yeah. I mean, Robert Barnes is quite an astute lawyer and commentator, was actually in the courtroom for the first trial in Austin. And he said it was unlike any courtroom he'd ever entered before. There were three different cameras. One was pointed on the jury. It looked to him like a made-for-TV movie. Well, that's it. I pointed out and sought to intervene in all of those trials to emphasize that there's been no judicial determination that anyone died at Sandy Hook, and that that was just being taken for granted. And in fact, Joaquin, it turns out none of these cases have been decided on the merits. None of them have dealt with the facts. They've all been decided on procedural ground or by supposition or by agreement or by default. In fact, Alex Jones was found to have defaulted on discovery, but when Robert Barnes made inquiry, no one could say what discovery he'd failed to provide. He'd given them thousands of pages. They had all his videos. Even Elizabeth Williamson, who's a scourge of Sandy Hook because she's the real profiteer, as he's observed, and I can confirm, she's written all these scurrilous articles about it. She even did not know what it was Alex Jones had failed to provide. The whole thing is just a political extravaganza. It's very much like the January 6th committee, that it has no legitimate basis, but it's being used as political theater to promote the Democrats' political agenda. But the fact is, it's overreach again. I mean, they're going too far. Most people recognize January 6th. They could care less about it. You know, that's one of the primary that the Democrats have put their eggs in that basket. But nobody gives a damn. Everybody knows it's phony, right, that they just scared shitless of Donald Trump. And yeah, there's so much evidence on every side. So with the Alex Jones trial, can you imagine $1 billion for having an opinion? I mean, the absurdity of this. $1 billion for having an opinion? It wasn't even one he expressed frequently. He talked about Sandy Hook less than 1% of the time. He turns out to have lost money on Sandy Hook. He had sponsors who left. But he was, for the most part, saying it had been real. It had been bona fide. He went out of his way to be apologetic. I mean, I don't praise him for that. I'm just reporting his behavior, because he was right. It was a fabricated event. It was a FEMA drill. I have a massive evidence. So they Amazon bans the book. And then the court, I'm treated to a peculiar judicial procedure, too, where it's as though the outcome were predetermined, where I'm basically not allowed to get any of my facts into evidence, because in Wisconsin they have this peculiar summary judgment process where the judge can decide if facts are reasonable or not. If they are reasonable, the judge just sets them aside as though they didn't exist, which included Joaquin. Two forensic document experts who were on my side, the judge just set them aside, said there were no disputed facts, even though the plaintiff and I could not have been more at odds, and ruled in his favor that I'd committed a defamation that I guarantee I had not done, because truth is an absolute defense. I mean, it's unreal.
Yeah, I don't understand this joke of a legal system. It's just so... I mean, I do understand it. It's totally corrupted, and it's a lawless jungle, you know. Getting back to the Joseph Borrell, the foreign minister of the European Union, made a statement the other day. He said, "We have a garden here. Europe is a garden, but oh, those invaders, oh, we got to watch those guys." It is so racist. And it's like, you know, it's like we have the right to pretty much do anything because the law of the jungle is coming after us. And so we have to go out and meet them. That, you know, that was basically him saying that you have to go according to our rules. We have the garden. You have the jungle. You are the losers. We are the winners. We are the privileged. You are the less than. And so it's our job to go out and educate, improve, and you know, all this imperialistic kind of embedded, twisted, racist kind of representation, and that's where the European Union. I mean, you know, we have the United Nations, we have the European Union, and they've even been trying. Biden's even trying to do a thing with Mexico and Canada and doing that whole thing, you know, an American kind of treaty thing with major government. It's all moving towards the same thing. We all know it's been one world government. It's been their wet dream forever.
Yeah, I was interviewed by Iranian TV yesterday morning about that quote, and I said it would be better to make the analogy with a graveyard. I mean, you look at World War One, World War Two, Spanish Civil War, and now look what's going to happen, the decimation of Europe for sanctions on Russia that turned out to be self-eviscerating, because without cheap gas from Russia, which was going to make the world a more peaceful, livable, habitable planet, they backfired. They won't pay rubles to get the gas, and now they're going to freeze to death. Millions of Europeans are going to suffer a miserable, short life, life dramatically abbreviated because of this. So I think this guy was just an idiot. He was so out of contact. And when you talk about, you know, the projection, my God, that's what the Democrats are doing. Every damn thing they're accusing Trump and the Republicans is exactly what they are doing to a magnitude heretofore never seen in the United States before.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a matter of the people basically rising up. I've been waiting on the so-called white hats, you know, to make themselves known. I do know that there are alliance forces that have been going through with all the child trafficking in the deep underground military bases and the tunnels that are worldwide. I believe that there are such forces, you know, special operations forces, from a lot of countries, there's supposedly 32 in the alliance that are involved in this. I believe that, and I did speak to a person who gets feedback of basically intel all the time from one of the soldiers that are in that alliance. And I spoke to that person while they were actually in underground in Australia. So there's so many tunnels. Anyway.
Hold that thought, Joaquin. We'll be right back with my special guest after this break. Don't go away.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet?
I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my guest today is a former Army officer. He graduated from West Point. He's done brilliant work. He had a book early on called Don't Let the Bastards Get You Down, which I think is very thematic for our time. And he's got multiple 5 volumes on pedophilia and politics and stuff, really sensational stuff, exposing the corrupt underbelly of what's really going on in America and who's in control and how they manage to do it, which has a whole lot to do with figures like Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, sad to say. Joaquin, I just so admire all the work you've done here because, frankly, practically no one else has shown the gumption, the gall, the balls to address it.
Yeah. Well, you know, in part I have you to thank because you, Jim, were the first person that actually approached me and said, you need to write the book on this topic on pedophilia because it's out of control. And you got the ball rolling. you put that plant seed in my head, and it just kind of just blossomed from there.
Well, you carried it.
4 years and 3 months later.
Well, you've been doing the job, you know. There are still many today who want to claim Pizzagate is just a myth. I mean, for God's sake, if you look at the evidence, it's overwhelming. It is so sordid. It is so repulsive. And it involves such demonic depths of evil. I mean, adrenochrome, butchering children, cutting off their faces, terrorizing some more adrenaline to get into their blood so they can drink it for its rejuvenizing effects. These are aspects of the grim reality Joaquin has been exposing that most Americans bury their head in the sand. They couldn't bring themselves to address it if their life depended upon it. They don't realize how much of the way they live, the quality of their life is affected by this grotesque group of political figures where Jim Rothstein, he's a retired Gold Shield detective from New York City, whom I interviewed, based upon his experience, and he's one of the leading experts in the country. 70% of the American political elite are engaged in pedophilia, Joaquin. 70% by Jim Rothstein. You can take that number to the bank.
Yeah. I mean, that's how they control all of these puppets. You know, it's a simple game they're playing, and they've been doing it a long time now. And, you know, Ghislaine got 20 years. She needed more, but that's, you know, at least she's put away. But all those politicians like the Clintons that they ran with that were best buddies of Ghislaine and Jeffrey, what happened to the Clintons?
You know? For example, yes.
There's so many crimes that are so obvious that they've been involved in. And you know, all the players that they have, I mean, they lined up so many politicians and actors, even academians. They got away with it. Yeah, but then all those people that were on the Lolita Express, that we have all the evidence, and we have even the victims that are willing to come forth and put these people away, and yet it's still unfinished business. They think that they can put her away for 20 years, and then everybody will just simply forget what it was about. It was about a sexual blackmail operation to basically make sure that all the politicians, or I would probably say 70%, that's probably an accurate number for somebody who knows, and that's the system. So, I mean, where's the justice? It hasn't happened yet.
And anyone who thinks that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide and that man had jail, I'm telling you. It's just absurd. Yeah, the lights just happen to go out, and now you see him, now you don't. He appears to have been exported from prison, and he may be sipping Mai Tais in Tahiti or back on his own island in the Caribbean. Joaquin, I put nothing past. He had that island just riddled with audio and video equipment so he could get these politicians and these corrupt acts and record it for posterity. It's really, truly disgusting.
And, you know, I mean, both Ghislaine and him, they're Zionists. And they were working, I mean, basically, they were brought together by Robert Maxwell, her father, Ghislaine's father. And he had cronies. He was a super, quote, super spy, working, basically giving secrets to Russia, taking our atomic secrets and bringing them to Israel. I mean, this guy is so guilty of espionage. But anyway, who got them together through Robert? It was basically the military intelligence of Israel. Basically, they were working an Israeli blackmail operation for Israel. And, of course, they're working with CIA as well, you know. And that's how the business is done. That's how they get all the puppets lined up in all the different capitals of the world, and all the leaders are already bought and sold. That's why we don't have a system that operates in the behalf of the people, you know, like the judicial system, how corrupt it is and unjust. And you know, then they do these horrible kinds of genocidal weapons that they're putting on us with the kill shots. And then they got the, you know, I mean, it's going to be a long, dark winter without the heat in the homes. People aren't able to afford their electric bills, their energy. They're not able to even afford the food. There's all kinds of shortages. The hyperinflation is kicking in, stagflation, they're calling it. It's going to be a long, dark winter for a lot of people, millions of people. And, I mean, basically, Europe is done. Deindustrialization. The powers that should never be, which are these basic Luciferians that have been in control for so long, they decided that the three wealthiest continents on this earth, which are North America, Europe, and Australia, New Zealand, they also happen to be the most Caucasian, they also happen to be the most Christian, and they also happen to have the largest middle classes of all the regions on this earth. And they realize the powers that should never be, Luciferian control and bloodline, have realized we got to take these wealthiest continents on earth out. We've got to remove their middle classes, and we're going to specifically go after America as the, quote, power of all of the countries of the world. And they have their guns. And Britain doesn't have guns. Australia, they all have these mass shootings where they were able to railroad through laws that confiscated guns. But they weren't able to do that and will never be able to do that in America. So this is the last bastion, basically, of people power trying to assert themselves and their human rights, including the Second Amendment constitutional right to bear arms in self-defense. And when they're coming at us, you know, self-defense is the way to go. And so they've got all these weapons of mass destruction that they have, through their, quote, perfect storm of all these WMDs, that they're going to basically depopulate Earth. They found out that the kill shots weren't going to do it completely, so they moved on to the threat of nuclear war, the whole thing with Russia, and now the shortages, the food starvation. It's going to be a very rough time for humanity.
Something I found positive in your latest, which is found on my blog at jameshfetzer.org, for those who'd like to read, is are quite a few of Joaquin's, in my opinion, rather profound, very far-reaching, very searching reports on the current state of affairs in the world, was that the populism and resistance to the Great Reset is emerging in various regions, in Hungary and Italy and elsewhere. I'm sure the audience would welcome some ray of light here, you know, some silver lining, if such there be.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have written recently now that there is an anti-globalist movement now afoot. I think it's coalescing around the fact that we're having all these shortages and the doom and gloom is happening. So in answer, they have elected a coalition government in Italy that is clearly anti-globalist, pro-family, pro-Christian, and really anti-immigration of invasion. And basically, Hungary, you know, Orban, the president there, has been about the only European Union president actually to voice these sanctions against Russia are only hurting us, the European Union and the countries in it are all being hurt by it, and it actually has benefited Russia. And so that's why I see through all of this. It isn't just one nation acting against another. It is a group of power-hungry bloodline controllers pulling all the strings of all these, quote, leaders to do all these things that are suicidal for their people. It's so obvious. And it's I mean, if these leaders had any thought on the benefit of their own citizens that supposedly voted them in office, they would be doing things in the interest of the people, but they don't. And, you know, we've already covered why they're not, because they're all bought and sold, bribed and blackmailed, you know? But the good part is the population of the earth is finally, we're reaching critical mass. People are waking up. They know something is criminally wrong, and they want to know the truth. And so, you know, a lot of the, quote, normies are finally getting it. A lot of them are. More every day. And then we have, you know, even changes in parliaments like in Italy and Hungary, where they have the populist votes. And it's spreading. And you know, we had the basically the MAGA movement in America with Trump, and now DeSantis is up there too. I mean, the people reject the wokeism. They reject the horrors that have gone on with the U.S. military. Oh, my God. You know what they've done to them by imposing this illegal, inhumane kill shot. You know, that they're doing all the things so that America's defense forces are not able to adequately provide a defense for our nation. They have made sure. And unfortunately, this guy, Secretary of Defense, I went to school with him. I was his squad leader at West Point. And this guy is a pure robot. Pure robot, does what he's told. I mean, he just dances to the tune of his puppet masters, as Biden and all of them in that regime, that imposter regime. So, yeah, I mean, what they've done to the military, and then they're giving away all the arsenal we got, all the stockpiled weapons that we have. We've given them away, 70% of which is going to the underground black market in Ukraine. It's not even getting to the battlefield, most of the weapons, or it's being destroyed by Russia before it even gets to the battlefield. And now there's, you know, Zelensky, because of all the missiles and the kamikaze drones from Iran that now Russia is deploying, they're basically now coming to the point where they know that the next phase is coming. With the colder months, Putin is going to move in. They have their buildup. They've recruited 300,000 reservists now. They're deploying them. That process, mobilization process, will be completed by the end of this month. And in November, we're going to see the step up. They're building the troops up in Belarus. Belarus might even get involved fighting side by side with the Russians. After all, you know, Ukraine has NATO, so, you know, it evens out. But, yeah, we're my view is that this war is going to be over during the winter months, because they're going to obliterate. They're already going after with the drones and the missiles. All the infrastructure of the military, you know, the policymakers, and the energy plants. They've taken out their electrical grid. So, I mean, that's what they're going for. And it's all in preparation for what's going to come in November, when they actually release all these new battalions onto the battlefield. In the meantime, interestingly enough, and I covered it in my last article, back on the, I think it was the 14th of October, Washington Post, which is just pure rag for Mockingbird Press, CIA controlled historically, but they actually came out with an article of truth where they interviewed soldiers on both. No, actually, it was the interviewing soldiers that are fighting for Ukraine. And they're so battle fatigued, suffering from PTSD, and they don't know when they're even being relieved, because every day Russia is annihilating the military personnel. The soldiers are from 200 to up to around 1,000 a day are dying every day. It's a war of attrition, but guess who's going to lose this war? Ukraine, they're using grandpas, they're using kids, they're getting anybody. They're going to bars and pressing them into service. They don't have the number of soldiers out there now. And it's going to be over in the winter. So we have that to look forward to. And Zelensky's going to be gone. And, you know, hopefully Russia can finally get what all they've been asking for all these years, a neutral border. We do not want neighbors pointing U.S.-made missiles, nuclear kind, at us anymore. Whereas 1962, you know, we had the reverse going, and Kennedy did the right thing. He confronted the Soviets and said, get them out, and they got them out. Well, Russia's been asking for the same thing, the same national security that is granted by law, international law, and they've never gotten it. Russia's never had it.
And, you know, Joaquin, most Americans don't even realize we have these U.S. missiles in Turkey that JFK took out in response to the Soviet insistence, a perfectly bona fide security threat that they'd countered by putting missiles in Cuba. I mean, they were already there. They actually had tactical nukes in Cuba. So that if we'd gone ahead, you know, it would have been a hell of a mess. It would have been a complete disaster. So it was very appropriate, actually, that JFK negotiated a peaceful solution. I'm afraid there's not that quality of leadership anymore. I think you've got it exactly right about how it's going to play up in Europe. But lest Ukrainians start launching nukes, you know, the West, because Putin's made it apparent. If he's forced into an all-out war, he's not going to limit it to Ukraine. And the number one city is going to be London, which echoes Muammar Gaddafi's observation. If you want to end international terrorism, just lob a cruise missile into the city of London. He got that exactly right. But, I mean, the U.S. is not going to escape unscathed. Then, you know, you could have one of those tsunamis eating the East Coast, maybe the West Coast at the same time. I mean, and what's going to happen to London? I mean, for crying out loud, set off one of these beauties in the English Channel? I mean, it blows both ways. I want to make some remarks about what's going on from an evolutionary point of view, because ultimately it's a question of which genes are perpetuated in a gene pool across time that determines which species and organisms survive. There are so many attacks on simplified versions of Darwinism that it's embarrassing. I mean, they're just attacking straw men. An adequate theory of evolution includes a minimum of 8 different causal mechanisms, 4 causal mechanisms for producing genetic variation. The first, well-known, of course, genetic mutation. The second, sexual reproduction. The third is known as a genetic drift. This is when you have a subsegment in a different geographic area and they evolve in response to the adaptive pressures thereof. And the fourth is genetic engineering. Now, that happens when they, you know, they do this with beef. They reproduce the same DNA of the maximal beef-producing steer, you know, it's got the right combination of lean to fat, blah, blah, blah. Now, on the other hand, you have the mechanisms of selection that determine which genes then are perpetuated because the organism to which they give rise can adapt or not to the pressures they're confronted in the environment. And those, of course, include natural selection, competition between species and individuals, sexual selection, which members of the sex to the opposite find attractive enough to mate and reproduce. Group selection, very often misunderstood. You take the same individuals, organize them in different ways, you can have different effects, you know. Just take the balls and move the players around, or a football team and have them play different positions. You see how much difference it could make. But in this case, Israel actually adopts a group selection strategy that very in-group. They very much, Kevin McDonald has done a brilliant job in talking about the Jewish group selection strategies. It's like it's a remnant of Skull and Bones on a larger scale, on a whole racial scale. Skull and Bones, they all take an oath to benefit one another. Why John Kerry doesn't contest an election where he may actually have won, because he's running against a fellow Bonesman, and they won't do that. But then fourth is artificial selection. This is like when a thoroughbred owner mates his thoroughbred at high price with various mares, when he's got a great racehorse. Now, what's going on here in the world today is artificial selection by means of the vax and genetic alteration. In other words, these two very high-level ways of determining which members of the species reproduce. And because the vax has these death-inducing properties, I mean, it's making a major difference to evolution. But also it's being compounded by the influx of migrants in both Europe, and this is a clergy plan in the United States. This is really a Democrat plan to permanently change the demographics of the United States. Today's migrants are tomorrow's Democrats, or so they think. It's having the odd effect that the Latinos, by the way, most of whom are Catholic, don't like all the emphasis on abortion, and they resent bringing in these massive numbers of illegal migrants. And blacks are resentful, too, because they're undercutting them. One of the great features of Trump with a robust economy clamping down on the southern border was that it saw wages rising for the lowest wage earners at the highest rate. So we already had in 2019 a Rasmussen poll that 40% of black likely voters were going to vote for Trump. Well, I'm telling you, the huge percentage of the Hispanic community is going to vote for Republican. And this is another reason why, as you observe, they know they're going to go down. They know they're going to get tossed. And the question, you know, if you ask, well, how could they have adopted such stupid policies in the first place, that even Fetterman is saying defund the police was absurd from the beginning? How could they have done it? And the fact is, they were being instruments. They were being controlled. They were out to deliberately destroy America, just as you described on the grand scale, the three continents that were being targeted. And by God, they've been effective about it. I mean, if you really understand the big picture, you can just see the power of unlimited money. I mean, the Rothschild already own 80% of the world's wealth. They want to own 100. And remember, they can invest trillions, and they're all going to get it back when they take control of the world. After this break, we'll be right back with my guest, and we'll open the calls for you to reach out to us.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm here with Joaquin Hagopian, and we're glad to take your calls at number 540-352-4452. I see we've got a couple of callers already. Familiar voices. Brian in Missouri, join the conversation.
Yeah, when you mention your Rothschild friends, I read online that they're estimated to be worth $500 to $800 trillion. And you know what's going on is when you get people like Warren Buffett and Jeff Bezos and Zuckerberg, all these people, and you think, oh man, it's so wonderful they figured out how to become billionaires. They all get their money from Rothschild. Les Wexner, all of them. They, you know, they'll go to Rothschild and say, look, I've got a plan to really help destroy the country. If you give me a few billion, I'll get it enacted. And then they're in business. That's how the system works. And we never talk about the 13 bloodline families in Italy and, Macau that are above the Rothschilds. And there was a really good website called Awa Zeus that used to talk about it, how they own the Holy See. You know, the Catholic Church is basically owned by them. And one of those bloodline families, the Orsinis, Pepe Orsini now is the great pope, and he's supposed to be the most powerful person in the world, and we hear nothing about it. So it'd be interesting if you could get someone on there that could go into the history of that. I went to that website recently to get more information, and everything about it has been removed. So you know you're over the target when they take everything off the website.
Joaquin.
Yeah. I mean, we talk commonly about the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Black Nobility family, royal family. But yeah, they go back. There are Phoenician families pretty much in northern Italy that had spread out. But they can actually go back to the Babylonian times and to the Canaanites and back even to the Bible with Cain and Abel. There are descendants of these people. Some of them, some Christians call them Nephilim, which are the fallen angels, and that they have been in control. And I get into this in my first book, actually, where I go back in history and trace the blood sacrifice of children and these rituals that they engage in that have been handed down for millennia through the occult and their secret societies. I cover all of that. But yeah, basically my fellow West Point friend, Fritz Springmeier, wrote the 13 Illuminati families, and he put it on the map as far as really getting into this topic of some of the other lesser known families that, because we always think of, okay, the royal family, Rockefeller and Rothschild, but yeah, they're the front people that are most visible. But there are a rather number of families. There's more than 13, too. But the Orsini family, the caller was mentioning, and a lot of them are from Italy. Some are from Spain. And, of course, there's members of families from even in Asia as well, the Liu family. But, yeah, my friend Fritz Springmeier gets into all the details of every family. He has a chapter on every single one. And that's a classic book that can be, you know, I recommend that you patronize him, but it also, you can find it actually for free on the internet too. But it's a wealth of information provided back in, I think it was 1995, he published this book, The 13 Illuminati Bloodlines. So yeah, there's a lot to it, and it's not just the most visible names that we know of that are behind it.
Brian, did you have another question, or you can stand by while I take the next caller? Go ahead, Brian, if you have.
No, I'll stand by. Yeah, I kind of knew all about that, and I just found it fascinating that John Gotti and, you know, all those Gambino crime families, they actually pay tribute to those 13 Illuminati families, that all the mafia in this country has to pay tribute to them. And they own things like Midas mufflers. And I mean, what I read on this website, it was amazing what they owned. And in this country. Oh, and another interesting thing, Jim, that I just recently uncovered was that you talk about that senior executive service in our government. That's actually a corporation owned by the British Crown. So I found that fascinating.
Wow, that would be news to me. We also have a call from Bruce in Texas. Bruce, join the conversation.
Hello, guys. Joaquin is very knowledgeable. Good guess.
Agreed.
Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead. And, go ahead.
Yeah, and you also brought up, Jim, the usage of tactical nukes in Iraq. That is a fact. That was done. There are no barriers to these people if they can get away with it. If you may recall, some of us may already know, the USS Cole was struck by either an Israeli or American Popeye anti-ship missile, sub-launched. An FBI investigator, John O'Neill, discovered the forensic evidence of this. He was run out of the FBI. Then he was given a new job in the World Trade Center, and the first day, he died on 9/11. He was set up, he died, killed, okay? And so, on this Ukraine thing, we need to, for purposes of this argument, we have to assume that satellites exist and nukes exist, because what we're doing is we're maximizing the usage of whatever Ukrainian forces they have to the satellites that we have, to the National Reconnaissance Office. They were allotted to Israel by Jimmy Carter, way back when he was negotiating with Menachem Begin for the Camp David Accord. And so for that section of our for allies, there's nothing we won't do. And I believe that the withdrawal from Afghanistan is a cut and run because they had bigger fish to fry. You need to look at Victoria Nuland, the Undersecretary of State for European Affairs. She's married to Robert Kagan. Robert Kagan was a co-founder of the PNAC group, policy for a new American century. He wrote that we needed a new Pearl Harbor back in 2000. And so all this is tied together. These people will not let up. And there is no reason for Putin to utilize nukes in Ukraine against the Ukrainian military. What he referred to is if NATO did a full-blown invasion and the interior of Russia was threatened. And the media and the government, all these talking heads, you're twisting his words. And so don't be surprised if a nuke goes off, we all know who did it. We all know who did it. If they will destroy the Twin Towers, if they will shoot an American destroyer, et cetera, it will sure as hell level Kiev or a military base with a nuke to have us on the war footing again. Right now, Americans really don't care about it. I mean, down in the list of important issues, it's like number 9 or 10. So that's all I had, if you want to respond.
Joaquin, yeah, would you comment on Bruce?
All right. Well, you know, he's made some very good points. He's bounced around, but every point I agree with. And unfortunately, the vast majority of Americans are probably unaware of a lot of those points that he's made. You know, I mean, the control that Israel has had over the American government, I mean, you can go back to basically when JFK confronted Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, and said, hey, you know, that Dimona power plant you got going, we don't like it. You're not supposed to be making nuclear weapons, and you are, and we know you are. And you got to do something about it. You gave them an ultimatum, almost like, you know, the October missile crisis. So what happens? A year and a half later, they got them. They killed JFK. They're even linked into the murder of our beloved president, Israel is. And then, of course, in 1967, the USS Liberty, they've been involved with that one where 30-something sailors died, and on and on. Netanyahu in the Fink Bar in Jerusalem was bragging about how basically America is to be used up and that we can do anything to America because they can take it. You know, I mean, the evidence is there, overwhelming, over and over and over. Cynthia McKinney, congresswoman, has brought out basically that every member of Congress is basically forced, pressured, coerced into signing allegiance to Israel rather than allegiance to America and the citizens of America. They own Congress. I mean, yeah, I mean, the influence and the power. I like what I'm seeing as far as I wrote an article not long ago on there's a crack in the relationship between Israel and Russia. And now it's broken even more wide open. You know, they have the Jewish Agency that called that, it's like an NGO service that helps citizens from Russia and end up immigrating to Israel. And they kicked them out back in, I think it was around July and August. The government, Putin, basically the government, the Kremlin, kicked the Jewish Agency out of Russia, operating to help, you know, recruit. Basically, many of their Unit 8200, you know, these are the young people that get them when they're 13, 14, 15 into the military, and they train them in technology. And, of course, Israel is considered now replacing, you know, Northern California for the advanced technologies I mean, they do cybersecurity and cyber warfare. That's their game. I mean, there's all kinds of things that, and we could go back to the Epstein-Maxwell operation, on and on and on, of the influence and power of Israel. But one of the positive things that I've seen, because I was thinking, and I'm not convinced that he's not. He could be controlled opposition. I'm talking about Putin. But the positive is I have seen him break away from whatever yoke there might have been that the Rothschilds and through the Kissinger and associates, they groomed Putin to take over for the alcoholic Yeltsin as the first Federation president. And they put him in office. Supposedly, you get it that basically he was groomed by the city of London. Well, I think he has broken away. I don't believe that he is a stooge or a controlled opposition even for Israel. I think he has broken away. He's decided, and I don't know, you know, if he's going to go. He doesn't have exactly the track record that I would like on human rights. He basically, talking about Putin, anybody that's perceived a threat basically is exposed or imprisoned. I suppose even assassinated. He does come from the KGB roots for 20 years. I mean, he's got some things that, like, you know, well, Trump too, you know, he's got his liability issues as well. So I don't know. Are they controlled opposition? We're going to find out soon enough. We will find out. But when this war ends, we'll see what happens. But right now, there's a shift in the power structure where the city of London and basically the Vatican and Washington, D.C. as the three power points of the crime cabal, they're losing power. And the power is shifting towards the east with Putin's Russia, the vast resources of Russia, and, of course, the manufacturing center of the world in China. And all these nations are clamoring to become part of the BRICS alliance or the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. They're all in application for it. We're talking, you know, well, Brazil's already there in the BRICS, but we're talking Saudi Arabia has applied to be a BRICS member now. Biden has lost Saudi Arabia as a, quote, ally of America because he switched ships. They know the power is going to the east, so that's where they're going. In a multipolar world, the United States insists they must be unipolar. We must call the shots of the world, or at least be the puppets that call the shots. And they found out that there's a multipolar world out there that's emerging in greater power all the time. And so that's what we have to deal with. Now, will they turn out to be more than they're up? Be unto themselves, and value national sovereignty. So far, Putin does, I believe. We'll see what happens.
Very good comments. I just add a couple points. No less an authority and eminence than Jacob Rothschild has declared Putin to be an enemy of the New World Order, and that the New World Order cannot move forward without Ukraine. So I regard Vladimir Putin as a great hero of humanity. I believe he had every good reason to intervene in Ukraine and that the fight he's fighting is actually to benefit all of humanity. So I regard him as the only true statesman astride the world stage today. About Israel's complicity, we've identified 8 shooters, one of whom was Israeli. Each of the sponsors of the assassination put up their own shooter. We had a CIA shooter. We had a military shooter. We had a Texas oilman shooter. We had a Fed shooter. We had Lyndon Johnson's personal hitman. He was really the motivating force behind. We had a Dallas deputy sheriff, and we had a Dallas cop. I mean, so Israel, you can say, bore 1/8 of the responsibility. It was not an Israeli op. It was all the way with LBJ. Let me ask if anyone else has Brian or Bruce, and let me encourage first-time callers, take this opportunity. Joaquin is a remarkable resource, and you have an opportunity here to ask questions that you are almost certainly aren't going to have again, at least not anytime soon. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Yeah.
I'll give a closing statement, and then I'll just listen from the rest. There's some people in our sector or in our community who are saying that Putin is just working with the West, and it's all pre-planned, and he's working for the Jews, and they'll show a picture of him with a yarmulke or with a couple of rabbis. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. So just want to state my
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, it's easy to, you know, special plead, cite only the evidence favorable to your side and eliminate the rest. I mean, it's just typical of propaganda. I want to ask Mitchell. Mitchell, you may have a question you'd like to pose to Joaquin on this very nice occasion. Would you like to?
When the digital money gets here and they control all the system, will they ever turn their own off?
Will they ever turn what off now?
Their own money. Since digital money will essentially be kill switch money, is the term Kanye West called it. So they'll be able to kill your money at any time or limit you 5 miles from your house. You won't be able to spend any digital money.
Let me just add to that, Mitchell. There's a huge underground drug industry in the United States. I mean, it involves massive amounts of money. It's all cash. So I don't know what's going to happen. If they go into digital as suicide, it turns us all into slaves. There's no question about it. I think it's the worst possible outcome. But I think there's also going to be enormous social upheaval. If addicts can't get any money to pay for their drugs. I mean, good God, I just see this as chaos run amok. Joaquin, any thoughts?
Yeah, there's no way that, you know, they're slowly moving in that direction. I mean, you know, the World Bank is saying that all these countries, like over 90%, are all on board with it, behind the scenes, quietly doing it. But no, I think what we're going to see, as we're seeing now and in the last just few weeks, there is a whole awakening going on. We're reaching critical mass. I mean, Rome and Prague and London. I mean, there's masses of people out there on the streets now. And yeah, as you just said, Jim, it's over. Once they have the control. And they're going to try and, you know, they're going to try and abolish cash, you know. But the people have to react. And with the will of the people stepping up and you know, through basically noncompliance, we can beat them. You know, if we don't play their game, we can beat them. And we can make these demands. We won't go with that. Also, don't go with all the huge banks because they're all part of the centralized system. You know, go with the smaller banks, credit unions and things like that, and put your money there. We need a kill button basically to limit them from accessing their own money, because they're criminals and that's where they need to go is be prosecuted criminals.
Mitchell, would you like a follow-up? Mitchell, would you like to follow-up? Then I'll come back. Was that Bruce, I think? Mitchell?
Well, Jim, we will always see a struggle about money and wealth and what form it takes. And whoever controls the money and the gold rules. So we'll have to wait and see, won't we?
Well, indeed. Was that Brian or was it Bruce who had a further question?
It was Brian here.
I was going to point out
something that you were missing when you mentioned all these drug dealers. You're failing to put in that category all these small businesses that can't pay their ungodly income tax. And so at the end of the day, they take a lot of cash that they've received during the day, and they don't put it in there as part of their income so they can survive.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of businesses like that. So when they would go totally digital, it wouldn't just be drug dealers. It would be small businesses that would be in an uproar, too.
There's no doubt about it, Brian. You're absolutely right. I meant that as an illustration. But, you know, the whole Green New Deal is intended to salvage, just destroy our economy. We're built on the gasoline engine. And these electric cars are a failure. They have limited range, takes you forever. I mean, they're nice for a second car around town, but the idea, that's just destroying your liberty. And the very thought that you'll own nothing and you'll be happier than you've ever been, that would only be if your thoughts were no longer your own, where they may be able to control your thoughts and your feelings by 5G through the graphene oxide interface they're creating with the vax. I want to give the last few minutes here to Joaquin as we wrap things up today. I'm so delighted to have you here, my friend.
Well, it's been great to be here, Jim. But yeah, I think that the people are rising up. Arm yourself with the truth, and noncompliance is the way to go. I think we will win this war. It's going to be a dark winter. Many will fall, unfortunately. But we must be brave, and we must get together, be together, know your neighbor, get with other people who think alike and are aware of the problems that are coming down on us so we can unify. It's all about unifying behind the truth and arming ourselves with the truth so that eventually we get justice and we get the fundamental change that we're most necessary to have if the human species is to survive.
And for more of Joaquin's blogs, check out them at jameshfetzer.org. I'm just delighted to have him here today. It's been a wonderful conversation. Thanks to Brian and Bruce for calling in, Mitchell, for your thoughts as well. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence